Thank you for joining us for this very special episode of Good Market Live, where we're going to talk about struggles, celebrations, and strength with two of my favorite people, Ivy and Sophie Walker, the sister duo behind the incredible band Walker County. Hey, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Good Market Live. I am so excited today to share the microphones with my new friends from Walker County, the sister duo from Walker County, Ivy and Sophie. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
We are going to dig into some fun topics today, some serious topics today. And most importantly, we're going to talk about their EP, which I am a huge fan of, Mirror, Mirror.
Thank you.
No Smoke and
No
Mirrors.
No Smoke and Mirrors, yes.
Right? Yeah. But Mirror, Mirror is the latest release. So we're going to dig into that. Before we do, though, one of the exciting things, I think, for me, when I heard that we were going to get to do this, was obviously this is in celebration of our partnership with Good Market, Able, and Walker County. It's a tri-lab. Yes. And why it was so special to me was the fact that you guys are from Indiana.
Yep.
Right?
We're Indiana.
Born and raised.
Born and raised.
Sulphur Springs, Indiana.
Sulphur Springs. Obviously, Good Market is from Indiana, Fort Wayne, and Able's from Nashville, and you guys now live in Nashville.
Yes.
So it's such a, it was like meant to be.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So for everybody that's listening, obviously, we're going to get into this, but make sure you get out and see the collection that Ivy and Sophie put together today with Able, which is a fun one.
We had too much fun picking up those clothes.
It was like a girl's dream in there. Yeah. Like choosing outfits, you know, it was
We're like, are you sure?
Fun.
Yeah, we can pick whatever we want.
Perfect way to start every day. So I got to hear a little bit of this earlier, but I'd love for either one of you to jump in and talk about like how you got started. I'll let you all decide who goes first or how you kick it off. But love just kind of talk about the childhood to where we are now.
Yeah. So Ivy and I were born in Indiana. Our dad, we grew up just listening to country music. Well, all kinds of music all the time. He was just loved music. So our house, it was always up to 11, jamming out. Dad started to learn how to play the guitar. And, you know, Ivy, just as a young girl, like loved to sing.
I definitely showed an interest in singing from a very young
loved
age.
It. Like all home videos. Ivy's like two, singing Annie. Like,
yes.
Oh, cool.
Loves it.
And Dad, he always was like, you know, it just looked like something a kid liked to do, like sing. Like, okay, she likes to sing. But he was like, I honestly didn't know how good you were at it. You know,
that's
I was
cool.
just like, oh, my kid loves it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I started singing at church. And, you know, we had a lady back home. She told Dad, she's like, you know, she can sing really well. She's doing key changes. She's like, her pitch is great.
And it was just natural.
Like,
it wasn't,
and Dad was like, really?
Yeah. Like no real training. It was just happening.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. And so Dad really nurtured that. And, you know, growing up, he had me singing everywhere and I absolutely loved it. And then, you know, Sophie got old enough and Sophie started showing an interest. And so we actually, in 2007, when Sophie was 9 and I was 12, we took a family vacation to Nashville. Oh. And Dad was like, hey, do you girls want to open the guitar case on Broadway and bus just to see, just to do it?
Wow.
And so That's Sophie cool. and I were like, sure. So we opened the guitar case and we play like 3 songs.
Yeah. I think it was like, it wasn't 10 minutes.
Do you remember what they were? What she sang?
It was probably bluegrass because we grew up singing a lot of bluegrass.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you sang I Fall to Pieces. That was like your
song. A Patsy Cline. I think that was.
Sing a little, like one line of that?
Oh, yeah. Sing it.
Oh, sure. I fall to pieces.
And also,
so amazing.
This is Ivy, a 12-year-old. She sounded like that
at 12. That's amazing.
Higher, you know,
just a little bit higher pitch.
That's how she sounded. So people were like, what?
Yeah. So we made like 10 bucks and Dad was like, you know, girls, if you learn an hour's worth of music, we'll go back down. You can keep whatever we make. And so the next month, we had learned an hour's worth of music, sang, and made about like $200
wow.
for a night.
So you went home
we were
and
like,
then made a trip back
rich.
Down to play
yeah.
again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
cool.
We thought we were making the big bucks. So.
Ivy and I were rich, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, we're going like, to Opera Mills Mall and spending it all.
Yeah. So that was the start of Walker County. We you know, we were called the Twilight back then. That was initially the first name. And we started playing anywhere and everywhere they listened to us, getting Very paid cool. in barbecue sandwiches and, you know, making no money doing it. But we loved it. And every weekend we were somewhere new. Weddings, funerals. I mean, like anywhere.
We played about every funeral.
I Fall to Pieces, perfect.
Yes.
Yep.
But,
every funeral in our hometown. Yeah.
You know, that's how initially Walker County started. And we didn't stop playing music. I mean, since it was, you know, 9 and 12
it's
on.
So natural how it just kept going. We kept getting booked. Like, it was just so obvious that was the path we were supposed to be on.
And did you love it right away? Like, did you
we
just,
loved
you knew it right away?
We did. Cool. I mean,
it just became part of us.
We did. Yeah. We loved the, every aspect of it. Meeting people, playing the music, writing our own songs, dressing up, our hair and makeup. And, you know, that all started at a young age.
I think that's a really interesting point. You mm-hmm. mentioned hair and makeup, too, because your mom.
She's a hairdresser.
right?
We were surrounded by all of that.
Before I had these long locks, I had buzzed hair. I had, like, a mohawk. I would do fun spiky
She'd do pink
colors.
And purple. And,
so that's always been a part of us, just, like, doing the fun, like, outrageous looks and stuff.
And I think that's important message, too, though, because, like, your family was cool with it. Like, you just embraced who you were.
It was really,
like, even back then, you were able to be self-expressive, which is great. And there's so many people that can't be, but I think that there's not, look at what happened because you were. And
I know we still talk about that. You know, not only did Dad encourage our dream of music, but we have Mom who, she let us wear and look however
she was so fun too.
And sometimes we're like, Mom, why did you let us look like that? And she's like, you wanted your hair that way, you know? And but it's so important now looking back that she just made us feel beautiful no matter what we were wearing and how we looked. And
she did. I was telling my friend about that. I was like, my mom never once was like, oh no, you're not wearing that. She'd be like, oh, that's fun. Like, let's wear this too. Like, you know, she would encourage it so much. And she was really fun in high school. You know, she'd have her fun hair and dangly earrings and
she's always
all this stuff.
So she loved it.
She did. Cool. She loved that we were into that. And I'm so glad she encouraged that for us.
Do you think that's something that you all will carry forward as you maybe become moms one day too, that you'll kind of embrace that same
100%.
Thing?
100%.
Yeah. What's the message you think about for that girl that might be out there today whose mom won't let them do that?
You know, it's a hard position to be in because your mom, you know, moms are a big part of your life and you want to, you know, you want that approval. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, it's okay to be different because I promise it is. You know, society nowadays, I can't even imagine growing up in the TikTok era and the Instagram era. Yeah. I was kind of on the outskirts of it. It started to become popular when I was in high school, but it was still not like it is today. So I can't imagine. But, once you get out of high school and out of all that and out of your parents' home and start becoming yourself, people embrace it. Yeah. People love it. Right. People love the uniqueness of people. And I think that's so important to know.
Yeah.
Like we still get, you know, people and go who were in school with something and be like, I loved how you dressed. And that's the time somebody was like, no, you know, nobody thinks I dress cool. They're all laughing at me. But they'll be like, I loved when you had your hair like that or – people do love it. They love uniqueness.
It creates a confidence,
I love
too,
that,
I think.
Yeah. I mean, I have a 14-year-old daughter right now, and I have a 14-year-old son, too.
Yeah.
But that's part of the beauty, I think, of being a 14-year-old is that there's such an opportunity. And you know, if I think back to where you guys were when you were 14, and obviously you were 11, 14, or 17 and 14, it's such a dynamic time in a young person's life.
Oh, my gosh,
You know, and there's so much positive that can come out of it. So no matter how bad it is today, doesn't mean it's that bad forever. And,
right.
Or also how good it is today, it might get even better.
Yeah.
Like
you
guys, you've kind of jet propelled from where you were to where you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have.
That's exciting. So you come back, you raise about a couple $100.
Yeah. Yes.
You're still living in Indiana.
We're still living in Indiana. Yeah. So the whole move to Nashville happened kind of like a God thing, how it all happened for us. It was like, I was about to graduate high school and my dad was like, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to college? Do you want to, I thought maybe I wanted to do hair. I didn't know, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting with Sophie and us kind of looking at each other and going, music is all we want to do. It's all we know. We've lived it for these past 8 years. Like, that's what we want to keep doing.
I was a freshman in high school as well at this time.
Yeah. Well, I was a senior.
And I was like, I was not built for school. I don't want to be here if Ivy's not there because, you know, that senior
that was another,
freshman year,
yeah.
I was like, she was my best friend. Her friends were my friends. And I was like, I can't even imagine going back to school. It was just not a good environment for me. So that also was like, if we could focus on music, if I didn't have to go to school every day and I could be homeschooled, then we have all this extra time during the day to write and create stuff for music. So
That next
it was kind
year,
of a no-brainer yeah. for us. We were like, yeah, definitely let's focus on music and just try, you know?
Yeah. So that next year, we really put all of our effort in music. Mm-hmm. Sophie was homeschooled and
I was doing drum lessons.
Doing drum lessons.
Bongo Boys in Indy, shout out. They're the best, best people over
Sophie,
there.
Sophie, how was homeschool? Because I know there's a lot of homeschool that happens now and yeah. both ways, either from school to homeschool or from homeschool to traditional. Yeah. How was that? That adapting for you.
Yeah, So
that was a tongue twister.
Ivy and I were really good in school. We like stayed on top of it. We knew it was important. So when it was like kind of my own responsibility to like do my textbooks, like it was really
you were good at it.
It was really easy. Yeah. I was blessed that like you know mom kind of raised me to you know put importance on education and stuff. Yeah. But so yeah, I just pretty much like but at that time we didn't have like. Online school or anything. Right. We did, but like that wasn't like my first choice. So I had like textbooks and I just had to like check in every once in a while. But I just studied for my GED. And once I was able to take that test, once I was 16, I took it. I was done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But by the time she was 16, kind of fast forward, we were signed to Warner. So we ended up, we made an EP in Indianapolis with the, guy who owns and runs Bongo Boy, Ed Goss, he wanted to work on an EP with us, and he produced and engineered it. And we really, you know, put a lot of time in that. And we're like, you know, we want this to kind of grow us as a band. We didn't know where it would take us, but that EP, like, I think we made it was 2013. We made it.
Wow. 10 years.
Yeah, which is crazy. So we made that, and he had a friend here in Nashville, Ben Fowler, who he said he can mix it for us. And so he mixed the EP, and Ben calls us one day, and he's like, hey, I really like this. Can I give this to some people in Nashville? And we were like, sure. We had no idea how Nashville worked at the time. You know, we were like, yeah, go for it. Give it to whoever you want. Thinking nothing of it. And like a week later, he calls us and is like, Scott Hendricks, who's huge A&R over here at Warner Music Nashville. He's going to be calling you guys to come meet.
And you're like, whatever.
We're like, who? Yeah, who is okay? And then we looked him up and we were like, oh, he's serious. Like, oh, man. So we ended up playing for some big people over here at Warner Music. And
did you play in their office? Is that
did.
How it works?
We did. Yeah. They
John
had us.
Esposito's office. Yeah. We went up there.
Did you just like sit in the office and play?
Literally. Yeah. I mean, they just like, okay, play another one. Yeah. Wow. It was kind of intimidating
for pressure.
Us. From 390 people, Indiana girls, like little town, to like come in here and
we felt
this
like
CEO, like office.
In the building that we're in, right?
Yes.
Because I didn't mention we're actually recording live from Nashville.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the building where you guys first.
Yep.
Yeah. It was like a crazy story. And I remember leaving that meeting and Dad was like, if nothing ever comes from this, no one will believe this happened anyway. Like, this is so, so don't stress
gonna believe
about
it.
He's like, no,
it's fine.
He didn't want us to stress. But then literally, he was like, I want to take you guys out for a nice dinner to celebrate. And we ended up at Ruby Tuesdays. And they
shout
called
out for
us.
Ruby Tuesdays, the buffet. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love the salad bar?
The salad bar is the best with the croutons. Yeah.
They fry them. They called us 2 hours after we left and offered us an artist and writing deal. So
amazing.
It was a whirlwind, but we literally had a meeting.
Were you
with
at Ruby Tuesday
day.
When they called you?
Yes. Yeah.
I remember
so you got the dessert
the
too.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember running out in the parking lot and being like, my God.
I can't believe this is real.
We honestly couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And that next day we had a meeting and they're like, yeah, you'll move to Nashville. You'll start writing. You'll write over at Warner Chapel.
Wow.
And
which is across the street, right?
Yes. Yeah. And we've been – that's been our journey ever since. It's came to town, we tour, we write, we put music out and pray one day a song takes off. You
well,
know?
You've got some good ones.
Thank you.
So, and I think one of the things I learned earlier too is your dad plays with you guys still.
Yeah.
So he obviously was grooming it back then.
Totally.
Right. Never thinking probably that you guys were going to get a deal, but now he gets to play.
We always dream big. We're a big dreamer. So, you know, it's funny because I remember being a child and being like, I'm going to be a country singer. Like, I knew it in my head, like, it was going to happen. And just to see it, like, actually come true is so cool. But, yeah, Dad always encouraged us to practice and put importance on it. But, yeah, so the reason we loved playing music so much is not just because we're creative and we love music. Mm-hmm. It's also because it was a family thing. You know, Mom was selling merch. Me and Ivy and Dad were on stage, and we had our cousin with us for a long time who played bass. And it was just so special. And when we moved to Nashville, we knew that that was, if that was going to be like a deciding factor of like we couldn't play together, then we didn't want to do it. And luckily it was good, and we were able to keep Dad in the band and all of us, because that is why we do it. That's why we continue to do it, is because playing with your family, it's just so special.
It really is.
It really is the reason we love playing music.
That's great. Sophia, one of the things you said that I think is really struck a chord for me, and I talk about this a lot, both with my kids and with people in general, is like, dream big, right?
Yeah,
you said you always dream big, but there's something to be said for that. And the fact that no matter whether you were playing, you know, with your guitar case open or you were getting the record deal, you're still following the dream, and you don't give up on the dream just because things get tough and you've got to drive the 6-hour drive or whatever it is.
Back
and
forth.
Doesn't matter. You still keep dreaming.
There are plenty of times we've been here in the past 9 years now that we should have been homeless or been home, like gone back to Indiana, and we haven't.
Yeah.
And the Lord has just kept us here, and it's so cool to see. And that is one thing, is like, we haven't stopped dreaming. We're not giving up, because the people that make it are the people that don't give up, and that, you know,
that are persistent.
That's right. Go through the struggle, you're good. But yeah, it all makes it so worth it when we're with Dad or we're doing stuff like this. Yeah. It's just so cool to Ivy and I. Like, we love this stuff. And that's
cool to me,
like,
too. So thank you.
It's so awesome.
We thrive on these experiences and get to, I mean, this is, you know, it's a part of why we do music for this moment here, you know, is to talk one-on-one with people and get to know them. And so this is awesome.
I love it. So I wanted to, one quick question before we get into Mirror Mirror. I want to talk a lot about that, because I know we had some good conversations earlier.
Yeah.
The name Walker County.
Yeah.
What's the background?
So, like Ivy mentioned, when we first started, we were called the Twilight.
Yeah.
And then it was
then the book
Ivy
came,
Dean.
The movie came out, and
never mind.
We just kind
that,
of
yeah.
yeah, we got buried with Edward Cullen, and you know.
So it was time to think of a new name, and we grew up on a family farm. Our town was 390 people, very small. But there was a little section when you're driving out of Sulphur Springs that you go through the Walker Farm, which is my great grandparents' house. And then it was our house, our cousin Johnny, and Mark and Debbie, and
all Walkers.
All of us. We were all Walkers, just right in that little, like, couple mile radius. And Ivy's history teacher was a, Bob Bramlett. He said, "What about Walker County?" And Ivy was like, "Oh, that's really good." So we wrote it down. And then we had a few other options. And that was the one we ended up on, because, you know, we're a family band. It's Walker's our last name. And it just
made
perfectly
sense. Cool. Yeah.
I love it. And you know, I know you guys are big Dolly fans too. So maybe one day there will be a Walker County theme park.
We would love that. We dreamed it.
That'd be good.
We've talked about music festivals. We've talked about it all. We're like trying to get our cousins back home who have the land. We're like, come on, like, let us throw a festival or something there.
I mean, there's so much potential with your name, which makes it really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I think it feels to me, as like kind of the outsider looking in, it so reflects, you guys are, neither one of you are about me. You're about us and our family. And I think that name reflects that, versus if you were Ivy and Sophie, like, fine, but doesn't really project who you guys are as well.
Good,
I don't mean that you're not individual people, because you definitely are individual people.
But it is
like,
true.
It really tells your story in a true way when somebody knows it. So I love that. So let's jump into Mirror Mirror. And I got the super huge honor of hearing you guys do a little bit of it acoustically today, which was mind-blowing to me, by the way.
Thanks.
I was talking to my wife and son on the way here, and I said, like, to hear people with that much talent be 5 feet away from you sing, like, it was just,
that's
it was
so
mind-blowing.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
P.S. I already liked the song.
good.
Right? And I grew up listening to country music. I grew up in the 70s and 80s like old country.
That's
and
good
so when you heard like Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton, like, those are the
people. That's what we were raised on too.
Right? So, but yours is a new kind, but it's amazing and beautiful, and you have beautiful voices.
Thank
you. So Mirror Mirror is out now.
Yes.
And one of the things that I think is really important is that if somebody hears it, they also need to see it.
Yeah.
So they need to see the video. And the video was unbelievably moving to me for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. But I think, Ivy, I'm going to let you jump in on this a little bit, like where the song came from, because I think there's a really, really important story behind
it. You know, it's crazy because Mirror Mirror, we wrote it, I want to say 3 years ago.
I think it was probably three.
And, you know, at the time of writing it, I was going through a really hard time, you know, emotionally with body image and loving myself, I struggled a lot with that. And I, you know, I still do. I still do this day. It never goes away, but I'm getting better at it. But I think, you know, I went through kind of like I've struggled with my weight all through growing up. And I think when you're in the public eye, it starts to become even more noticeable. Like people like have called me the bigger one as the sister, you know, or like I've had mean people, you know, say some mean things on our, you know, music videos or like, oh, she's so photoshopped or stuff and stuff like that. And it bothered me. It really did. And I remember I got super, you know, I tried to go to the gym and I would go 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I was at the point where I was starving myself and then binge eating every third day because I was so, you know, I was not getting the nutrition I needed for how much I was working out. And, you know, it was a really hard battle that I struggled with. And I was at my lowest weight, but I was so unhappy. And like, I just, you know, looked in the mirror and still hated myself. And like, I know hate is a strong word, but it was hard. It was hard for me. Yeah. I never liked myself. I was like in pictures, in video, standing directly in front of a mirror, I was struggling. And I remember, having the idea, mirror, mirror, of, you know, a girl talking to herself, what the mirror is saying to the girl, you know, like it's being mean. It's, you know, that kind of thing. So I brought it to Sophie and we brought it to two writers in town, Jen Shaw and Autumn McIntyre. They're beautiful women, very talented. And, you know, we told them the idea and we just poured our souls into that song. Yeah. We wrote it in 45 minutes. Wow. It was like so quick. But it was like a song that needed to be written. Yeah. And, you know, I'm healthy now. You know, I took a break from working out and, you know, reevaluated myself and deleted the diet apps and all those things. And I, you know, I'm doing a lot better, but I struggled with that for a long time. And I still do. I still have days where I think everybody does, where they look in the mirror. And so when we sing that song and when we put it out, I was like, not only am I putting this out for all those men and women who need to hear it, but I'm putting it out for myself because I need to hear it too. Like I need to hear that message as much as they do. So this song's very important.
It's super important. I think you mentioned something that I don't even know if you caught that you said it, but you said it's for all the men and women. It's not just a female thing.
No. And we've learned that too, because I think at first, because I'm a girl, I go, girls out there, you know, you're feeling that way too.
Yeah, when we were playing shows, you know, we'd play it live. Yeah.
And we would have men come up and be like, I struggle with that too.
Somebody said you should change it from she to like they because it was like, I related to that.
Yeah.
Wow. And I don't think we realize that just because we don't have girls. Yeah. We're just girls, you know, we're just like in our own world. But yeah, it was eye opening to see that men related to it too. And I thought that was so cool that they were feeling impacted by the song.
Yes.
Yeah.
So interesting thing that we were talking about earlier was when I was listening to the song, like the last time that I heard it before I met you guys, I think I interpreted it as two different meanings, right? Yeah. And one of them struck a very strong chord with me, but then I was like, wait, there's actually another part to this too. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but the two meanings that I heard, one was that this was a person seeing herself in the mirror and the song was actually directed at the mirror or at that person.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up. Don't put yourself down. Right. But the other part was also maybe somebody that was being verbally abused.
Yeah.
So, which it could be taken either way. And, you know, that's what I love about songwriting is, you know, you could be writing it for a certain reason. Like me, I was writing it for myself. Like, tell yourself you're pretty. You are worthy. You are wonderfully made. And then, but also somebody could hear who is going through that situation where somebody is being manipulated or emotionally abused
and
being told they're not pretty, and they can relate to it just as much as I do. You know,
I'll say in the writing room, I remember that first verse, we were like, let's not say anything about the mirror just yet. And let's kind of tease the people and think maybe it is like a man telling this to a woman. Cause that's where your mind goes, like a relationship song.
Just in case somebody hasn't heard the first verse, do you mind to just say the first verse?
Yeah, it is. You lean against the wall, you look her up and down. You pick out all her flaws when nobody is around. You watch her do her hair. You've seen her all dressed up, but sometimes you're so mean when she's not wearing any makeup.
Wow.
And I feel like you could be like, that's somebody telling the girl that. Right. Yeah. So we did that kind of on purpose. So I love that that's where your mind went. Yeah. And But yeah, in the chorus, we were hoping to be like, look her in the eyes and tell her she's pretty, mirror, mirror, saying like you're looking at yourself in the mirror. But yeah, I think it can be interpreted however.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, the reason that it's so important, not just to hear the song, because the song is a beautiful story. And, you know, I've heard a lot of music in my life, but I don't always listen to the story. And I was very careful to listen to it. I think that's a big deal. But the reason I think people should also watch it is a particularly moving moment that happens in the video.
Yeah.
When do you want to talk about that? I mean, there's the part of it that sticks out to me particularly, but I'll let you guys
tell us. I would love to share a little bit about that idea. So Ivy and I, obviously, we love the song. And whenever we write songs, we immediately think of like what the music video would look like. We're just visual people. We love that stuff. So we got our friend Alexa Campbell, who's amazing. She does a lot of Carly Pierce's videos and stuff like that. And we're like, we want to take our makeup off in front of the camera. And me and Ivy are like, we're full glam girls.
That's scary for us.
We love fake stuff. We love self-tan, extensions, eyelashes.
We love
all
it.
The stuff.
We're girly girls. Yeah. And so for us to take our makeup off, that's a big thing. I don't know if we had ever posted even with no makeup
Maybe
on.
Maybe like here or there, like on a story, like we look like in our gym clothes or whatever. But for the most part, we like to be like presentable in quotations, whatever you think
but
about
for
it.
Us to, you know, get that point across in the video, we were like, we need to be vulnerable. We need to do this. And I remember sitting with Sophie and talking about it and being like, okay, when we take our makeup off, maybe we'll just like keep a little bit on. Like we could keep a little foundation on or something like that just to make ourselves feel comfortable. Right. But Sophie looked at me and she's like, Ivy, We're doing the damn thing. We're taking it all off.
So I remember being there and like thinking, like in my head, I was using the makeup wipe, you know, and I was like, well, I'll just go back in and do a little concealer here. maybe I'll keep my eyelashes on, you know, all this stuff. And then I was watching it back. This was before I went and like touched up.
They
played it back for me and it was like me with no makeup on. And I was getting so choked up watching it because you could see my bumps. You could see my red, my discoloration, you know. And I said, we can't. That would literally be going so against what the song means. Like, we have to be for real here. So we didn't go back and put more makeup on.
We're taking it all off. Which, and we did.
I think that was
I think that's the authenticity of it. Though, it is. What makes it.
And Sophie started crying so while filming. Heavy. And it was like, it was a very emotional experience.
There's a clip in the video. You can see there's tears in my eyes because I was like singing to myself literally in the mirror. Like, you're beautiful, like how you are, the way God made you. Like, I just was such a heavy moment, and I wasn't expecting to get that choked up about it.
And it is funny because, like, we'll get people, like, we had, you know, TikTok, they put in their 2 cents whenever they can. Somebody was like, oh, wow, you're so strong, .. Makeup, really? Like, taking off your makeup, this is so silly. Like, and I remember Sophie and I, like, it could seem silly to some people, but I think Sophie made such a good response and I wish I could like remember it word for word, but it was just like,
I said it was one of the most scary things we've done.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And she's like, scary, you're just taking your makeup off. And I was like, girl, you don't even realize, like, we feel like we have to wear masks. I mean, we get hate comments all the time just about our appearance.
Yeah. Yes.
That's honestly the biggest hate comment we get. It's not even about our music. The way we look. Like, I get it if you don't like our music, like that's fine, but like it's about our actual looks.
Yeah, I mean, we get, you know.
So it was scary.
Being in the world of social media and being women, everybody thinks like, okay, you need to look this way. You're the big one. You're wearing too much makeup. You're orange. You're this. I mean, we have so many people like who want to put their 2 cents in. So for us, taking off our makeup was scary. Yeah. That was a scary thing.
They're gonna be mean. It is like
armor almost. When you have it on, you're like, I feel good. I can go out to the world and nobody's going to look at me weird. And then when you take it off, you're like, okay, this is me. Yeah. This is me. That is scary. Yeah.
Which is that we were talking about that too. That's the words to a great song you guys said you were listening to today. This is me.
Yeah. Sherman. Right? Yeah.
But I think your message is so important for people to hear, young, old, male, female, whatever. It doesn't matter. However you identify is not even important. The important piece is the story, the message that you share. And you know, there are not a lot of people that have done that and have said it's okay. And I think you were talking about you crying. I think the moment for me that I was like, this is legit, this is real stuff. It's like, I think it was you taking your eyelashes off.
Took the eyelashes off.
And I was like, they're really doing this. And it's amazing. And I think that's part of what made it so true. But I think what it does, it sends a very, very strong message that it's okay.
Yeah. Like,
you guys are still fine with who you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You gals, you guys, you young ladies, you old ladies, you people, whatever it is, are good the way you are.
And we still say, we're like, guess what? We love wearing makeup and we're not going to stop wearing makeup. And, you know, that was like our whole thing was whether you're glam or whether you're no makeup and in sweatpants and your hair in a ponytail, you're gorgeous. Like, and you need to believe it with all your heart because, you know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that is like the main thing we want to get across. And because as young girls, you know, our mom, she was super supportive of us, but we still struggled. Like we were, you know, we felt.
It's just girls, you know, like there's a certain age you cross and then you're like so conscious of like how you look. And that social media has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
And comparing yourself. But, you know, we're all unique. We're all different. Yeah. And we all struggle with body image issues in our own ways. But just a reminder that you're beautiful. You're, like Ivy said, fearfully and wonderfully made. That is like, if everybody can feel as beautiful as we think you are, like, I think the world would be a great place.
Yes.
You know?
And I think there's so much to be said for that, too, is like, you know, that mental health piece is very, very important, that everybody is beautiful the way they are. And you know, you are wonderful the way you are.
Yeah.
And all that is, you know, so important to hear. Mm-hmm. It's a great message. I as I've said before, and I'll say it again 100 times, listen to the song, but watch the song too.
Yes, please do.
Please watch the video.
So before we wrap up, as I mentioned to you guys earlier, there's a question that I ask everybody that's on the podcast. And I'm going to go in reverse age order, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I want to go second.
So part of what we do at Good Market, and the reason that we have the podcast Good Market Live, is because we want to tell the stories of our partners that are there with us, whether they are partners that are in the store, partners like you all, whatever it is, we want to tell the stories. So turning that kind of on its head, if somebody, Sophie, was going to tell your story, who would you pick to tell your story and why would you pick them?
Okay, so it can be like anyone.
Anybody you want. Anybody. Living, dead, famous, infamous.
Oh, gosh, that is such a great question. Whatever. I'm like, who would I choose? I would probably choose my grandma.
Yeah?
She passed a couple years ago. I don't want to get emotional, but I felt like we were... I don't want to cry. She was just a wonderful person and somebody I really, like, somebody I strive to be. She had an unconditional love about her. And I was talking to an old friend and he said, there was no one more accepting than your grandma. Wow. She loved you no matter who you were. She was the type of person that had just open arms. She exuded like Jesus's love. And I just loved that about her. And so I think that she would tell my story perfectly. And I miss her dearly. And she was just one of our greatest fans. And I'd choose Grandma Jill.
Maybe she had some influence on the words to the song too.
Absolutely. Oh. No, and
she had song ideas for us.
Did she?
Grandma she'd have a little piece of paper. I wrote this down because I thought maybe it could be a good song.
Yeah. Yeah. She did love Mirror Mirror and she was able to hear it.
Oh, fantastic.
But she was diagnosed with ALS. Was it 2 years ago now? Yeah, it was 2 years ago. And so she learned a few things of sign language and she would always do it, the I love you sign and then beautiful. And she's like, you're beautiful, I love you. And I'll just never forget that. And I'd choose Grandma Jill.
And I think an important thing that hopefully you guys are okay sharing, you have that I love you sign.
We do.
Her.
Yeah.
Both of you have that tattoo.
We got it tattooed. It was our sister tattoos. That was my first tattoo. And I said, oh, Grandma's killing me right now.
Grandma did not like tattoos.
If Grandma knew the Pandora's box, she would open.
She would secretly love it because it was about her, but she'd be shaking her head at me.
That's the fun of grandmas, though.
It is.
So, Ivy, over to you then. Who's going to tell your story and
you know
and
what?
Why?
You know, I'm going to do family, too, and it would be our dad because I think our dad would have some great stories to tell. Stuff that I don't even remember.
He would tell it, right?
You know, even just hearing him, like, tell my husband who, you know, wasn't there. I met him just, like, 3 years ago. So he's, you know, having my dad tell him stories about Sophie and I growing up and playing music and the crazy stories that we had and the crazy situations we got in is always fun.
I'm sure they were some good ones.
Oh my gosh. You can't even imagine.
That's for episode two. We'll save that for episode two.
Yeah. Road stories, Lord. But no, he's and he's a great storyteller and he's a talker. So he'd pour himself a cup of coffee and sit for hours and tell you stories.
And he remembers everything.
He does remember everything.
I'm like, I don't even remember that show. Like what
cities we were in. I mean,
we met
this person.
I was like, oh, thank the Lord for Dad because he remembers names and I'm not good with names.
That's great. Yeah, well, great. Ivy, Sophie, such an honor to spend time with you all this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
It means a lot that you were willing to do this. And I think sharing that message that it's another way of us continuing to reinforce that message that it's okay to be who you are. And no matter if you're struggling with weight or binge eating or whatever that might be, or looks or red skin or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You're still beautiful and wonderful. You say it.
Wonderfully made. Yeah. Wonderfully made. I love it.
Yeah. Wonderfully made. Perfect. So thank you so much. And we'll see you guys out on the road
soon. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Good Market Podcast. A new episode will drop the second Tuesday of each month, so make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening. Give us a like, a follow, and a share, and please leave a review so that we can reach even more people and grow even more good. Tune in next time to hear more stories from good people with great products supporting exceptional causes. We'll see you next month.